everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our program on our midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of July, 2020. Nice to get about a 10-15 minute little rain shower up at our place. And I've been kind of keeping track. Over the last 10 days, we've been fortunate to have three rains up in our area in the lower central foothills. They didn't last very long, but it was enough to hopefully give my garden and the plants a little bit of relief. We're bringing people together, Southern Arizonans together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to this program anywhere in the world by going to buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live broadcast 24/7, available kvoi.com. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on health. She is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts to solve America's healthcare system problems. She's editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her at her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes. Dr. Mazes joining us now on the live line. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, which is a wonderful thing to be able to say during the pandemic.
Yes, it is. About 4 months now, a little more than 4 months into this really terrible situation. I was noticing and have noticed over the last couple of days, more and more Southern Arizonans are wearing the mask, which is a good thing. I would say about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would go to the store and maybe, I don't know, 10-20% of the people did not wear masks. Now it seems to be pretty much full compliance, which I believe is good news. Some of your thoughts about masks.
Well, I agree. It's very good news that people in Arizona are wearing masks. Last week, the director of the CDC, Robert Reich, said that if we had nationwide universal use of face masks, we could bring the spread of COVID-19 under control within 4 to 8 weeks. It takes, though, everyone participating. So they feel like a very minimum would be 80%. But, you know, we have countries like Hong Kong, which had voluntary face masking, and over 95% of the people voluntarily put on those masks. So it's terrific. We do have a mandate in Tucson. Maricopa County has a mandate that you have to wear a mask when you go into indoor spaces in public. So not your home, but if you go to a store or a doctor's office or someplace else, you've got to put that mask on.
You know, there was confusion, Dr. Mazes, early on in March when the CDC said that no masks would be necessary. And I think that the confusion came about. That statement was really to kind of, there was, a shortage of masks in this country at that particular time. But the messaging has come back, I think, to really hurt in some areas of the country.
I think you're absolutely right. That early message by the CDC, which has now been changed, CDC does recommend masks. The World Health Organization does recommend masks. But you're right. At the beginning, we said it wasn't necessary. And we don't have a societal comfort. We're not used to this. Although, if you go back to the great influenza in 1918 and 1919, masks were mandated in the United States, and you could be fined if you didn't wear a mask. Other countries have had a more recent need to have masks because they had more recent epidemics of things like SARS, which is a different coronavirus, and MERS, which is a different coronavirus. And they got used to wearing masks. And I think in some ways we were skeptical, you know, of the need. But the reason it's so very important in COVID-19 to wear a mask is because 40% of people who have the infection don't know they have it. They are asymptomatic. So if they're not wearing a mask in public, they're spreading it. And by ignorance, if you don't know you have something, then you can't know you're spreading it. And so that's why we all need to wear masks, because that will greatly reduce the likelihood that someone who indeed has the infection but is asymptomatic, no symptoms whatsoever, no cough, no fever, no sneezing, no aching, nothing that would tell them that they have it, but they're walking around spreading it if they're not wearing a mask.
And it's more important than ever with this particular, this novel virus, which more and more research showing the airborne component, I think they call it kind of aerosol spread, which is not, I guess, typical, with some viruses are more more prone and more contagious through the air. But with this one, it's really important, isn't it?
That's exactly right. So, you know, we know about some infections, like measles is highly contagious. If you're exposed to someone with the measles and you haven't had it or you haven't been vaccinated, your chances of getting it are really quite strong. Chickenpox, before we had a vaccine for it, every child in the household would get chickenpox because it's super contagious through the air. It turns out that just normal talking, if you and I were standing 2-3 feet away from each other and having a long conversation like this conversation we're having right now, if I was in your studio talking with you on air for 30 minutes, which is what we do once a month, and neither of us had masks on, then my likelihood of infecting you, if I had it, would be quite high. If you just have a momentary exposure, you walk by someone, for example, who doesn't have a mask on and they have it, that's much less likely. So we think about the dose. How much of a viral dose do you get? And things that are really going to give you a big dose is if someone coughs near you who has it or sneezes near you. We know that singing, it turns out people singing in a choir because they're really spreading that, amplifying that voice, all those things are a bigger dose.
Now, if you and I were talking and having this conversation in studio, and we each were wearing masks, and it wouldn't probably be possible for us to be getting very good audio quality, but if we were talking together, what would each wearing a mask, could it cut the transmission by as much as 95 to 97%?
Dramatically reduces it. So the advantage of everyone masking up is that the person who perhaps has it and is asymptomatic, because of course, if you're sick, you're going to be really careful about exposing anyone. But if you're asymptomatic and you're wearing a mask, then you're the source and you're not spreading it. Up to 99% of those droplets are caught in that cloth mask. And a cloth mask is just fine. N95s, which are the ones that healthcare professionals are using when they do a procedure that can create a lot of aerosol, those are really limited to health professionals because, one, they're hard to breathe through. They're not that comfortable. They're a little hard to make them fit perfectly. People, if they wear them when they're exercising, complain that they're not getting enough breath. So N95s are important if you're a healthcare provider who is being exposed to people who have the coronavirus or you're doing procedures where you can aerosolize. But everybody else in public can wear a surgical mask or a cloth mask. There are now face shields, and those can be worn. And we know that you're going to dramatically reduce the spread. And as you say, if everyone masks up, that's the best possible situation. There's one other advantage to a mask, and that's that if you wear a mask and you are exposed to someone, you are less likely to have a serious infection with coronavirus. And that's because you're probably getting a much lower dose. That mask is protecting you, even if someone does cough or sneeze near you, you're getting less of it into your airways.
That is such a good point. We've talked in the past about load factors. That is just so crucial. And if both people are masked up, it would decrease the load factor. And that is critical.
Yes. And, you know, just to say, there's now some really good evidence. We're not just talking about something off the top of our head. One of the stories that I think some of your listeners may have already heard, but it was published last week in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, that showed a situation where there were two hairstylists who had coronavirus. And they did contact tracing, and they hairstylists were wearing masks, and they required that all of the people coming in to have their hair cut or styled also wear masks. And they went and did contact tracing of all 139 clients or secondary contacts, and nobody became sick with coronavirus. 67 of those people agreed. They volunteered to be tested for coronavirus. No one tested positive. So there's an example of you're inside in a hair salon, you're being exposed to someone because they actually do have coronavirus, and when that person is wearing the mask and when you're wearing the mask, you got it to zero. There are some other examples of that as well. There was a cruise ship that docked in Argentina. And they kept everyone on board the ship, but they did pass out N95 masks to the crew, and they gave the passengers surgical masks to the passengers. And the vast majority of people, remember this is a long time on a ship, but 81% of people stayed asymptomatic wearing those masks. So they had some spread in that situation, but very mild or asymptomatic cases. Another example, because I said there are now some good examples, is that there have been some outbreaks in food processing plants, one in Oregon that processed seafood, another in Missouri that processed chickens. And the people who worked in those were wearing masks, and 95% of the people were asymptomatic. So masks really, really make a difference.
Yeah, I use that example, the hairdressers, often when we get into discussions with people about masks, that incident happening in Missouri, but it really does. It perfect example of how important everybody masking up is. Let's take our break right here. Dr. Mazes, stick around on our live line. We'll continue now, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you, midweek edition of our program in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030 The Voice, your source for trusted local news and talk. Dr. Victoria Mazes, our contributor on health, is with us. Dr. Mazes is the endowed chair at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also the executive director. Dr. Mazes, if there was ever a time when people needed to get out and exercise, this is it. I'll tell you, many people who feel all cooped up over the last 4 months are discovering maybe I need to get out and walk, maybe some light running, whatever, but you do need to get some exercise. And there's an intriguing new study, the results published this month in Science magazine, that exercise may actually help change our brains in surprising ways.
Yeah, to your first point, please exercise. I mean, it's one of the best things we can do right now to support our health, to support our immune system, to make us stronger and more vital and less likely to be susceptible to the coronavirus. It also is a wonderful stress reducer, so that, you know, it helps you stay more stable and emotionally centered during this really challenging time. So please, please exercise. Having said that, yes, this new research showed that they did it first in rats, actually, and then they went forward and did it in people. And what they found is that when the rodents or the people exercised, the liver produced more of a chemical that actually enhanced memory and allowed for improved learning. Now, that's really interesting, because we don't really think of the liver having much to do with the brain.
No, we don't. We don't really think of that connection. At least I don't.
Exactly. I mean, we think of the liver as being important of detoxifying and digestion, but we don't think of it as, goodness, the liver may affect how well we think. So now the scientists are thinking about a liver-brain axis. Everything seems to now have a brain axis. We have the gut-brain axis. Now we have a liver-brain axis. And that means we have to take care of our livers if we want to live long and healthy and have our brains function well. So one point, obviously, is that exercise is going to be important. But there's other things we can do to support a healthy liver, like avoiding too much alcohol, eating cruciferous vegetables. As your listeners know, that's things like broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. I always say that coleslaw counts. So if you like cabbage, that's a cruciferous vegetable too. maintaining a healthy weight, because when you're overweight, you could have fatty liver, and that makes the liver function less well. And avoiding toxins, because the liver's job is to detoxify, but toxins can actually injure liver cells.
I have taken this opportunity, and it is, there is, there's tragedy, but there's also opportunity, I believe, through this very difficult time. I have taken it as a personal challenge, Dr. Mazes, to lose a little bit of weight. And I am happy to report that I have now lost 8 pounds over the last month or so. I am feeling better, I'm sleeping better, and I am eating better. So shall I pat myself on the back? Yes.
You absolutely should, because I will say that for a lot of people, being home all the time has led to the opposite result. You know, people
yes.
are finding that weight gain is common. You know, the stress leads you to stress eat, and people may not be getting as much physical activity being at home more. So good for you for having the healthy lifestyle behaviors that allowed you to lose that weight. I think that it's also worthwhile for listeners to think about, this is a tragic situation. This is an incredibly challenging situation. And is there anything good that could come out of it?
Right.
You know, I know for some people, the forced opportunity to spend more time together as a family has actually been very rewarding. Some people are taking the time to come up with new practices. For example, a friend of mine in his late 60s has started playing the saxophone and taking Zoom saxophone lessons. So,
wow.
You know, if there's something that you wanted to do that actually you have some time freed up from the restrictions that are currently imposed that you could do and enjoy and learn from.
You know, that study we talked about, many questions do remain unanswered about how at a cellular level exercise kind of remodels the brain and alters its function. This is an area that we talked about a few moments ago, we haven't given a lot of thought to, but it's interesting, that phrase, remodeling the brain.
Yeah, it is a good phrase, though, because you know, we used to think that the brain was not so what we call neuroplastic, that, you know, you had your brain and you develop these connections between one nerve cell or another. And if, you know, God forbid you had a stroke, you know, or something else bad happened, you're just out of luck. And now we have learned that the brain has tremendous neuroplasticity. So you can actually change the way your brain functions. And, you know, this is important also for developing healthy lifestyle habits. It's important to work with the brain, because if you have one habit, say every day you walk into your kitchen and open the refrigerator and wonder what's in there, could you develop a different habit? Well, the brain has, you know, an association. I walk in the kitchen, I open the refrigerator. You need a new association. You know, maybe to walk in the kitchen and you arrange some flowers, or you walk in the kitchen and you turn on some music. But is there something you can do that we would consider a healthy habit that can over time override and become a new neural pathway, so that the brain no longer has that association kitchen refrigerator, but has a new association, say kitchen and music?
How are things going moving forward with the fairly newly renamed Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona? How are you navigating these very troubled waters that we are now living, troubled times?
Well, I want to say how proud I am of our team at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. I think that despite the challenges which affect us, we're also University of Arizona employees, so we're going into a furlough/pay reduction period, and we're all, for the most part, working from home. We have a couple of people who have to go in and see patients or teach medical students, but the most of our folks are working from home. But our center really responded. We felt we could be part of the solution. So, for example, we put up a Integrative Approaches to COVID-19 website, and it is full of information. We've had more than 200,000 people come to that website, And it includes videos so that you could get more educated. It includes integrative health recommendations. For example, some of the things we've talked about, like diet and exercise, and also dietary supplements that you can take. We provided several of our online courses that are helpful for stress management for free. And so that website, which is azcim.org, and then right when you get there, you'll see COVID-19 resources right at the front page, is really a great resource for people who want to use these other ideas about nutrition and stress management, physical activity and healthy sleep and dietary supplements so that they can support their immune system.
Very good information. Folks can also Google, I'm sure, Integrative Medicine, University of Arizona, and it will probably get you there to the website.
Yes.
Dr. Mays,
yes,
always a pleasure. Stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And remember, everybody, wear that mask. You're protecting someone in the world who may be more vulnerable than you, an older person, a person with an immune problem. Wear masks whenever you're out in public and whenever you're in indoor spaces that are crowded.
Very good advice. Thank you again, Dr. Victoria Mazes. You can learn more about her, victoriamazesmd.com, or on Twitter at vmazes. We're up now against the bottom of the hour. That means we will take the live feed from CBS, and we will get an update on the national and international news. Be right back after this break.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I was reflecting as we finally got a little moisture last night, maybe 10 to 15 minute shower. We probably got about 24, a couple dozen rose plants, all of them from Green Things, and they all said thank you so much for that rain shower. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Yes, over the years, we have accumulated some wonderful rose plants. The wonderful thing about Green Things is they've got 13 acres, and they grow these plants right there on site. And this is, you want something homegrown, so when you take it home and put it in your own garden, it still feels very familiar. It's a Tucson area plant. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. The website is greenthingsaz.com. And of course, their other products, zocalovillage.com, for all that great handmade furniture from Mexico. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District. He was named in 1989 Arizona's top school superintendent. And I do want to say, if anyone would like to call, and we would like to hear, Dr. Hendricks and I would like to take a couple of calls during this segment. The number, the live line number, is 790-2040. We'd love to hear from parents who are trying to decide whether or not they want to send the kids back into the classroom. So if you'd like to call us, put you on the air for a brief comment, 790-2040. Dr. Hendricks, there has been a lot of pushback from teachers, a lot of teacher activism. Many teachers do not want to return to the schoolhouse. They do not want face-to-face teaching.
Well, Bill, many is an important statement, because the Arizona Education Association recently released a survey that 8 out of 10 teachers are asking schools not to reopen.
Wow.
Until there's evidence that they're safe. And I contrast that with the latest Gallup poll that says that 57% of parents want schools to reopen this fall. So we really have a contradiction and a conflict here that is causing a lot of tension. And I think teachers have a real legitimate need to be concerned. I think their response, we've heard before a lot of activism from teachers in terms of salary and other circumstances, but I think in this case it's largely focused on work environment, because they're struggling like the rest of us to provide quality instruction under the most trying of circumstances. You know, the parents are trying to make this work, teachers are trying to make it work, and they understand this observation, and I love this comment that was made: remote teaching is at best remotely learning. And I think everyone might agree that sitting at home in front of a computer or doing other kinds of things that are outside of that face-to-face instruction is not the best circumstance. But there are so many uncertainties, and I've tried to follow the health experts, and of course you get a lot of conflicting information, but there are a lot of variables at stake, before I think we can be back to normal in schools. And here are some of the questions that I've been thinking about in the context of Arizona, where the virus seems to be spreading. Are we really ready to make that step after August 17th to open schools? And are we ready to put adults, not just teachers, but I read where there's some districts are talking about adult monitors and other staff members, are we ready to put them in harm's way in the classroom? And, we've got a lot of children, particularly in lower income environments that are returning to households that have multi-generational folks living there. The grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, older people, and willing to expose them to, you know, what the situation might be. We know that there's some studies out there that say the asymptomatic symptomatic children may not be quite as at risk, but you know, if you look at the CDC results, you know, that of children under the age of 18, you know, that represents 22% of our entire American population. But 22%.
I want to go to one of the live line callers. We sure. asked for calls. Jeff, go ahead. Sure. You're on the air with Dr. Yeah. Hendricks. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. And I was just wondering whether this might be a good opportunity to more or less defund the public schools. And I believe the figure per pupil in Arizona is somewhere up toward $8,000 per pupil. If, say, half of that were rebated to families with per pupil to families, they would then be free to get private schools to whatever, you know, religious schools, however it might work out, and just break up this logjam. What about that option?
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff does bring up an interesting point. Public schools have been struggling, Dr. Hendricks, and this coming at this time, this pandemic, is not going to help the bottom line.
No, it doesn't. And I think Chuck brings out a good point.
You know, it was Jeff.
Where I think we have to reexamine where we're coming from in terms of the entire American schooling system. You know, right now, I think from a physical standpoint, all schools, whether they're public, private, charter, whatever, are facing the same situation. Now, there are some private schools that have very, very small class size numbers, and some people have suggested that, you know, maybe they could open. And, you know, there are some states that are looking at school districts and school environments on a case-by-case basis and say, you know, if you have the right environment, maybe you can apply for some kind of a waiver. One of the interesting things that's happened in the last few weeks is parents have been forming what are called learning pods, which are kind of an independent, small group learning environment of six children or less. Sometimes parents are conducting these sessions. Sometimes they're having volunteer teachers or paying teachers to do it. And they're bringing these little groups together and running sort of mini classroom environments.
Well,
and
that has been done before, going back to individualized learning back in the olden days. So maybe we're going that way.
It has.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe maybe Back to the Future is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I think there are opportunities for us to reexamine this and to see if, you know, some of the things that we've held near and dear to us in the public education system should change and must change.
Well, we're going to bring you back for a full half hour. I think we've got that scheduled as we learn more, and we should be learning more really any day from the governor about whether or not they're going to continue with the plan to have face-to-face learning. So, Dr. Hendricks, we will let you go right now, and stay safe. Thank you very much.
Right. I'm looking forward to returning, Bill.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
It's the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. We'll be back with the reopening of the Tucson Museum of Art. Julie Sassy will join us.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can start planning your trip. It's only a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Southwest by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. And currently, New Mexico has... is not open to out-of-state visitors due to COVID-19, but hopefully, we'll keep our fingers crossed, that will change very soon. But you certainly can start your planning for when the that order is lifted over in the land of enchantment. Well, speaking of things that will be reopening, we hope Silver City in New Mexico reopens soon. Tucson Museum of Art, after 4 months of a temporary closure, will be reopening to the public on Thursday, July the 30th. And there will be limited capacity. Let's welcome now Dr. Julie Sassy, the chief curator at the Tucson Museum of Art. Julie, how are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me on your program.
Well, we are very excited. My wife and I are members of TMA, and I know a lot of us, whether you're a member or just a community member who misses the museum, excited about how this is going to come off. How will it come off? What are the COVID-19 protocols, Julie
Sassy? Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, the staff couldn't be any happier than the members. We had a flying colors fabulous review this morning by the county with the Ready for You program.
Good.
So we have done everything perfectly right, and we're very excited. We are going to operate at 30% capacity, only 75 tickets per window of opportunity, and all of the times will be pre-registered. So until things settle down with COVID, we're going to make sure that everybody knows when they can come in. They'll pre-purchase their tickets. they can take their chances by coming in, but it'll have to be by credit card only. And, of course, priority is the people who've signed up first. So we are reducing our hours. We're having the social distancing stickers throughout. So everything's according to procedures. We'll all be wearing masks. Everyone's expected to, both visitors and staff. We have fabulous sneeze guards at the desk. everything's set to roll. We are very excited.
We've got the sneeze guards here in studio, too. So I think everybody's doing the COVID-19 protocols. When the shutdown happened, there were some great activities going on at TMA. You had some great great exhibits. Let's go over what is available. Of course, the opening of the Kasser collection. Give us kind of an overview of what's going to be available.
Sure. Well, I'll do a quick recap of what is going to reopen, and that's the Southwest Rising in the main galleries, and that closed only after 2 weeks, so we're thrilled that we extended it to September 20th. We have a new exhibit in the John and Linda Ender Gallery called For the Birds. New works changed out in our Southwest Gallery, a wonderful new exhibition of photography by Merle E. Friel, Jr., and a whole new display of modern art in the lower level, as well as updates and changes in the Latin American folk art. But, of course, the all-awaited new wing is what we're excited about, and that's the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. And that wing has taken 2 years of planning and construction. We now have a renovated outdoor patio area and sculpture gardens. The building was designed by Richard Andy Anderson, and TMA trustee emeritus, and a Tucson-based architect who was part of the original design of the building. And it's now 6,000 square feet.
Wow.
It's wonderful. Five galleries, and I got to tell you, it just blew me away. Mm. It is so beautiful with natural light. We have three galleries dedicated to ancient American art from the TMA collection and also loans from the I. Michael Kasser and Paul L. and Alice C. Baker collections, and also a gallery for modern and contemporary Latin American art. So we're showing off some new works that were donated to us or that we acquired. And there's also a gallery for Spanish colonial art. So we have more than 6,000 works of art in our collection of Latin American art, so we're finally getting a chance to give them the attention that they deserve. So we're thrilled. We're very excited.
Tell us about the Kassers.
Well, you know, almost anybody who's working with nonprofits knows of the generosity and the wonderful vision of Michael and Beth Kasser. I couldn't be more thrilled to have their interest in the museum. Michael and Beth have been collecting, we call it Art of the Ancient Americas, but, you know, pre-Columbian is another common term for it, for many, many years. And, of course, Michael spent many years when he was growing up in Mexico. So he's had a longstanding love of all things Latin American, as well as Beth. So they are giving up a huge portion of their collection for long-term loan and then gifting over the years. So we couldn't be more thrilled to show this beautiful wing off that they have been integral in supporting.
Julie, how have you and the staff been using this time where you were not open to the public?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been working just as hard as ever. Lots of writing getting done, lots of research getting done. You know, everything still continued on. What we didn't have is the interface with the visitor. But we've done online virtual tours. We've got a book club launched, and Christopher Driggers, who, by the way, the new, actually Dr. Driggers now, is our new Latin American curator, and this is his debut show with this new wing. He's done a book club session, and I'll be doing one in August. So we have not let any moss grow under our stones, that's for sure.
Dr. Julie Sassy with us on the Buckmaster Show. She's the chief curator at the Tucson Museum of Art. You were talking about the new wing. Give us a little bit of a footprint of TMA. When was that building, when was the inauguration of the building?
I think it was 75 was when it first was built. And, of course, it was a brutalist style, meaning, you know, poured cement in molds. And so they've kept the spirit of that, but they've updated it. So much more natural light than the first iteration. But there is a long ramp that stretches from the the historic buildings up into the new space. So that idea of ramps going from one to the other and open spaces, that's still there, and it's really integrated nicely. I think people are going to be very pleased when they see the space. And now it's going to be connected better, like I said, to the historic building and the sculpture courtyard. So it's almost like it was meant to be from the very beginning.
Do you think this will become do you think this will become somewhat of a signature collection for the Tucson Museum of Art?
Sure. We've been working hard to increase our diversity and to show a commitment to Latin American art, and we're finally getting to put that into real practice with this new gallery or series of galleries, this new wing. And I think that the quality that you're going to see is just going to blow everybody away. I think it's going to be right up there with a lot of major museums. And, of course, having Christopher Driggers here, who is very well respected in his field, and his connections are going to become apparent to visitors over the years.
So go to the website. That's how folks can hook up with getting their particular timed session? Is that
right.
How it works?
To www.tucsonmuseumofart.org, and we will be having reduced days that we're open. It will be, I'm trying to find it.
I think it's Thursday through Sunday, 10 a.m.
Yes.
to 5 p.m.
Yes, and yeah. So there'll be two-hour segments that you can sign up for. So that's all very exciting. We're ready. We're missing our visitors, and we're missing our supporters. So this is going to be something that we will, be popping in and checking out the people coming in, and happy to speak with people, with masks.
How about expanded outdoor seating for the cafe?
Yes, the cafe will be open again. There will be, I think we're planning at some point to have tables with umbrellas outside and more benches. In fact, I think there's a naming opportunity for indoor and outdoor benches. And during the COVID concerns, we will have not only the sneeze guards and the masks, but we'll have sanitizing surfaces regularly and hand sanitizer stations. Everything's going to be very considerate of the fact that we need to be very safe.
I want to take a look at that Southwest exhibit that you said really was up for only 2 weeks. Give us a quick rundown on that, please.
Well, that was one of my favorite projects because I wrote a book about the subject, Southwest Rising, Contemporary Art, and the Legacy of Elaine Horwich. She was a major art dealer from the early 60s until she died in 1991. And many works that are in the show are from our permanent collection, but it features some of the top artists when contemporary art was on the rise in the Southwest, so mainly New Mexico and Arizona. But it's a lively, interesting show with lots of color and a new way that artists were looking at the Southwest in ways that kind of brought it into the contemporary world. So very happy to know that we did have a great opening and a book signing, but we can have more people come and see it now. But we had 50 people from the Horwich family come out for opening night.
Wow.
So I'm glad we got the party in.
All right, Julie Sassy, we'll see you at the Tucson Museum of Art. Thank you.
Can't wait. Thank you so much.
All right, Dr. Julie Sassy, the chief curator at TMA. I am so glad that they are reopening. Give folks an opportunity, even though they are reduced hours. It's kind of like a weekend, Thursday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you can get your tickets online. And 2 hours is nice. You get 2 hours at the museum, and the crowd will be kept down to about 30% of capacity. So it's something going to on my must-do list. That's it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, Tom, we pulled off another one.
Yes, sir, boss.
All right, coming up next, Dave Ramsey, his popular show on money. Have a great afternoon, everybody.